Ooh, I love this segment. Well, not liking it very much. It's time for time, such a relative thing. Too wretched for what is wretched, really? It's bad, it's good, it really context is so, for radio, even though this isn't just on radio with Phil Johnson, or is it?
Phil's Osophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?
It is time for Too Wretched for Radio with the one, with the only, the Phil Johnson. Hello, Phil.
Hey, sounded like you were practicing the art of equivocation.
Well, I wasn't. I don't know why you would say that or sing that or whatever it was. I would not equivocate, Phil, unless, of course, I'm catching the disease. Let me take you now to the Southern Baptist Convention floor. Russell Moore, he is the Grand Poobah of the ERLC, which is the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. He actually has to have two business cards to fit all of that information on it. He was asked an open forum question, and it sounds to me like the fellow who asked the question, while it being an honest question, I have to confess, it sounded like his guns were loaded.
In a 2007 podcast with Nine Marks, you were asked whether women underneath the authority of a pastor could teach or preach to men. You said, if the Apostle Paul wanted to say that, he would have said it. Everybody in the churches remain under the authority of the pastor. It doesn't mean you now have the authority to sin, to go against the creational order. It would be very much akin to a woman saying, I'm going to commit adultery under the headship of my husband. I have my husband's permission to commit adultery. Nor does it allow a woman to do what is forbidden in Scripture, which is to teach and exercise authority over a man. Is this still your position on women preaching in the church?
That was a pretty awesome question.
Yeah, you're right. He was loaded for that one.
All right. But I have to say that 2007 quote from Russell Moore, I'd use that.
Yeah, I would have agreed with. In fact, I did agree with 2007 Russ Moore.
Yeah, in fact, it was rightly stated to demonstrate the fallacy of saying, well, a woman can preach in the church as long as it's under the authority of her pastor. You wouldn't say that a wife can commit adultery under the authority of her husband. That would be ludicrous because it is to compromise the creative order, which is what Paul grounds his argument for women not preaching or having authority over men. So right. Now, Russell Moore is going to give his response. Phil, I will play the clip, and you say stop when you would like to comment. Are you ready to go, sir?
I am ready.
Here he is.
Well, thank you, brother, for that question. What I would say to you is this. I have very strong convictions about biblical complementarity, that God has gifted both men and women for service within the church. And
let me just stop it right there because I know you're busting at the seams. What? He's just getting warmed up here, Phil.
Yeah, you know, actually, the way the question was framed, it was a yes or no question. Do you agree with what you said in 2007? And so it's clear already from the amount of verbiage we've heard that he's not going to give a simple yes or no answer.
No, we never get one. Now, I would like to ask you a question. He just affirmed complementarianism. Does that just answer the question without saying yes or no?
Well, it would have in 2007, but not anymore because you've got people, throwing around terms like soft complementarianism, where, and in fact, this is one of the arguments. This is one of the ideas. I can be a complementarian and still think it's okay for a woman to preach as long as she has permission to do that from the pastor because she's still under his authority. So, that's a common view. I wouldn't call it complementarianism, but the people who hold it insist that they are complementarians because if they admitted that they weren't, they would face a whole lot of more careful scrutiny. And so, you know, they should anyway. It disturbs me that The average evangelical sitting in the pew will hear someone equivocate like this and evade a pretty clear question and not demand more clarity. It's like the muddiness of it makes it okay. If you just make this, you know, confusing enough or contradictory enough, then I'm gonna go with it. And that's a bad attitude.
So this would be this is another instance where words, because of their semantic range, now need to be qualified. It's like the word evangelical, wouldn't you say?
It's exactly like that. Whereas evangelical originally meant a believer who is committed to the gospel essentials, specifically the principle of sola fide and the principle of sola scriptura, the authority of scripture and the faith alone as the instrument of justification. Those two principles, really the twin principles of Reformation theology, were what constituted evangelical conviction. But now you've got hordes of people who would call themselves evangelical because maybe they think politically they're on the same page as evangelical Christians or whatever, but they don't have a truly gospel-centered belief in all of their worldview.
You know what? Go a step further. What does the word gospel mean these days?
That's right.
It depends on who you ask.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And when you redefine words like that and allow for murky definitions, you ultimately render the word meaningless. And in fact, that plays right into the hands of postmodern deconstructionists because that's their whole thing. Words can mean whatever you want them to mean. You can disassemble them, put them back together with your own meanings and make someone seem to be saying something that he's not saying at all.
All right, let's continue. This is Russell Moore responding to a yes or no question.
Distinctively given callings to men and to women in some specific ways.
Okay, stop. Yeah. Right there. That's exactly the kind of ambiguous language that lends itself to muddiness and misunderstanding on this. Some specific ways. But let's be specific. Let's say what those are. The question is very simple. Do you still believe it's okay for a woman to preach to the congregation of a church from the pulpit if she has her pastor's permission to do so? It's a straightforward question, and it deserves a straightforward answer. If he's changed his mind, and I think he has, he needs to just say so, admit it. We can deal with that. What you can't deal with is deliberate obfuscation and equivocation and murkiness.
Well, he tries to define it. Let's see if you think this is satisfactory.
Our Baptist Faith and Message confessional document is very clear in terms of our parameters of understanding complementarity there.
Phil, have you read the Baptist Faith and Message regarding the roles of women in the church and complementarianism?
You know, I probably have, but it's not really...
Well, I did.
...standing out in my mind.
Yeah, as best I can tell, it's... clear if you're on the side of traditional complementarianism that the role of pastor or elder is limited to a man. I think that's pretty clear, but it never speaks about whether or not a woman can ever preach in the church. So it says the Bible limits roles, it defines roles, but it doesn't answer this particular question.
Right, and because this question wasn't being asked when that statement was written, or those who wrote it would have been very clear.
Yeah, you're right. They probably weren't even pondering that.
When they say that the role of a pastor, an elder, is not open to women, they're talking not only about the office itself, but the functions that are uniquely assigned to that office. It's disturbing to hear something deliberately being made unclear that could be answered very clearly.
Well, we've got 2 minutes and 48 seconds to go.
There. We have issues on which we all agree and issues that we need to agree completely in order to cooperate and to have a mission together. There are lots of other issues where we have a common agreement, but we have different ways of applying that at the secondary at the tertiary.
Go ahead and stop it. Again, he's still sort of dancing around without actually saying, what are these issues on which we disagree? Did we disagree on this in 2007 when he made that original statement? I don't think so. And he has shifted his opinion, which is why he's sort of dancing around this. Why he doesn't want to just acknowledge that, I don't know. If I change my mind on a theological issue, I'll tell you honestly. There's something disturbing and deeply concerning about someone who would change his opinion from something he said so clearly 12 years ago and now be reluctant to be clear at all. Why? And one other thing, those little issues on which we disagree, those are constantly evolving because as younger generations come up and new issues come up and different ideas are proposed, from year to year, there are more and more things that we would disagree on, even just within the circle of evangelicalism. Same thing is true within the circle of Southern Baptist life. There are people who disagree on issues, and new issues come up all the time. It's not like these are static points that we've all agreed on in the past, so we'll agree on them forever. It's very clear that there is a burgeoning movement among Southern Baptists to give more and more liberty to women to take over the pulpit on Sunday morning. And, of course, this focuses on Beth Moore. We've talked about her previously. But that's what brought this question up, Beth Moore's activity of, you know, preaching in the church, and she justifies it with the very argument that he's being asked to answer. Is it okay to do this if the pastor says it's okay? So give an answer, Russ Moore.
Well, he does bring up some of those secondary and tertiary issues. Let's see if this is a fair analogy.
Level. I think that the New Testament pattern is to have the Lord's Supper weekly. I'm not only happy to cooperate with churches that have the Lord's Supper monthly or quarterly or at other times, I don't even go to a church that has the Lord's Supper weekly, and I'm happy to be there. We can have some different applications sometimes about what our biblical complementarity looks like in some ways, but we are united around the fact that, as our Baptist Faith and Message says, the office of pastor is limited to men.
All right, Phil, what do you say to that comparison?
Well, it's not a good comparison because if you listed all the things that we might disagree on, you can't say that all of them are secondary and tertiary issues. And historically, churches don't apostatize because of their views on how frequently to celebrate to observe the Lord's table, but they do apostatize once they begin to give a broader and broader role for women in leadership. It's just that's a clear fact of history. It's not something I made up. You can look at any denomination that begins to allow women to preach and then ordains women and then puts women in, you know, bishop roles or whatever, high levels of authority in the denomination. Invariably, when that happens, the denomination's commitment to Scripture slips away because they've compromised on this one key issue that has to do with leadership in the church. Of course, there's going to be a trickle-down effect. It's going to affect pretty much everything else they believe, because if the Scriptures are so pliable that you can get around a clear command, like the Apostle Paul saying, don't permit a woman to teach or to have authority over men, and you can twist that away by redefining things, you can do that with any doctrine of Scripture, and that's exactly what happens.
Well, the question was, does he believe that women can preach? So to me, the analogy is not exactly appropriate. It doesn't answer the question. He basically says, look, we can have differences of opinion on these things, but he doesn't cite his position on it.
Right. He's not answering the question.
Yeah, he's not answering the question. And furthermore, you know, I think the analogy, if he wanted to say something like, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, there are some people who believe in transubstantiation. We can all get along, just like we can with complementarianism. You'd go, whoa, 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 whoa. That's a different level. How often we celebrate the Lord's Supper is one thing. What we believe the Lord's table is something completely different. So I just thought it was really just begging the question.
Yeah, good point.
But we are united around the fact that, as our Baptist Faith and Message says, the office of pastor is limited to men.
Again, that I'm glad to hear him affirm that, but it doesn't answer the question. He was asked something as simple as, do you like hot dogs or don't you? And he spent a lot of time talking about hamburgers and grapefruit. It was very interesting, but we never really got to hot dogs.
Astor is limited to men. What I would say to you at this point, and what I would probably say to myself in 2007, a lot of things I would like to say to myself in 2007, is to say that complementarianism requires complementarity. And that means that we need both men and women serving in every biblically appropriate way.
Last line.
Yeah, you know, that actually is a good line. And I agree with it. I think every true complementarian would. There are roles that are given to women. I mean, Scripture specifically lays out that older women should teach the younger women. And so there is a teaching role in the church for women. But it's pretty specific about what that is. And it isn't in the pastoral function. It isn't to usurp the duties of the pastor, even if you're not technically usurping it. He's handing it over to you. The evasiveness of this, again, just disturbs me. That whole argument about, well, there are things that we don't agree on, and yet we fellowship with one another anyway. People use that all the time. Yes, there are. But there has to be some kind of taxonomy in truth where certain things are non-negotiable. Certain things are issues that are so essential to what we believe that if someone denies this truth, I can't even regard him as a brother in Christ. And then there are insignificant issues like that Scripture doesn't really even address. How often should the church observe the Lord's table? Scripture gives no explicit command about that. That's an issue. Okay, we can disagree on that and still fellowship. He's right about that. But to use that and then say, therefore, pretty much anything we disagree on, we can just overlook and work together. He doesn't really believe that. And so why use that as an argument here? All it does is confuse people and make naive people sort of turn off their thinking caps.
Yeah, I think we just took a turn in this, well, answer to the question, do you believe that a woman can preach in the church? I think that the turn was, well, now that I've answered that question for you, I'm now going to try to talk about something else.
As a social conservative, I believe that children need both a mother and a father. There are two ways that you can destroy that. One of those ways is to say, it doesn't matter whether this is a mother or a father, all you need is a parent. The other way is to say, all you need is a mother or all you need is a father. We need both fathers and mothers within the Church of Jesus Christ, and we live in a denomination where we have firm convictions on biblical complementarity, but we are the denomination that was sending out Lottie Moon and Annie Armstrong four women could vote in the United States of America.
Wait.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's just ringing every Southern Baptist bell there. I don't know how Lottie Moon got into the discussion, but I also don't know how he got from the question, which is it okay for a woman to preach on Sundays, to the issue of mothers and fathers and families. I mean, of course, everybody's going to agree with him on that. If he's simply fishing for something that everybody's going to agree with him on, then yeah, bring up Lottie Moon and mothers and fathers and traditional families and all of that. But can we get an answer to the question? I think we got an implied answer when he said, there are a lot of things I'd like to tell myself, my 2007 self, that, you know, yeah, he has changed his views. Whether he's changed on this specific issue or not, he clearly does not want to state clearly. And that bothers me.
Well, he's got 27 seconds to do that.
The idea that we are listening too much to women in the Southern Baptist Convention is not an idea that makes very much sense to me right now. Instead, I would say let's be complementarian and let's try some true complementarianism, which means empowering men and women to serve under faithfulness to the inerrant word of Jesus Christ.
All right, Phil. He did that in 4 minutes and 10 seconds. Well, the Q&A, the question was in there, so about 3.5 minutes. Did he definitively answer the question, is it acceptable, is it biblical for a woman to preach?
No, he did not.
All right. So, we're going to role play. I'm going to play me, and you're going to play you. Are you ready, Phil?
I hope so.
Phil Johnson, a decade ago, you said that women are of equal value to men in the eyes of God. You also said that a woman does not have the biblical authority to preach or have authority over men. It has been a decade since you have made that statement, sir. Do you still agree with yourself from a decade ago, or have you changed your position? Can a woman preacher have authority over men?
I have not changed my position. No, Scripture still says that a woman in the context of the church is not to teach or take authority over men.
Well, there you have it right there.
Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?